Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Back at it here, hour number two. I'm getting another look here. Maybe the cleanest look I'm going to get today, which is that perfect scenario. A runner on third base with nobody out. And I do have Adam Frazier at the plate here. We'll see if he can do something. It is a 1-1 count from what I'm looking at right now. So we'll keep it in the mix. But JP, where are we going tonight? Major League Baseball? Well, I mean, where is it? We can't go NBA. Or wait, we can go NBA if we got a future tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm going to go to tomorrow. I'm not going to be here, so it feels fitting.
Ah, so NBA tomorrow is where we're going.
Okay.
All right, so.
NBA for tomorrow. Smart move. All right, hold on. Can I just say this? And now, yeah. I don't want it to be slander.
Go. Sure.
I think that tomorrow's play-in is going to have a very popular play with OKC plus the points, maybe even money line. Now, yeah. I don't know if that's slander. I just think people love this Thunder team and people hate that Minnesota team.
Rocket down the line for a base knock. Frazier. There we go, JP. So, all right, now let's get back to the – yeah, exactly. JP brought me good luck there. Thanks, JP, by the way. All right, so now I wasn't really listening too much. Are we going with a side or a total? Is that what we're doing?
That'd be funny. Yeah. I just assumed he was betting the Thunder plus the points.
All right, side or total, JP, tomorrow. And probably props are out by now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a side.
All right, so we're going to go side.
Thunder.
All right, if you're going to go Thunder, I don't think JP's laying points. I'm going Bulls, JP.
Oh, boy.
I like them both, but yeah, I'm going with the Thunder. Come on now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go? By the way, tomorrow, like the MO, are you just backing two road teams again since the dominance of the road teams? Like, the Bulls already went on the road and won and looked good doing it.
Yeah.
OKC did the same thing and looked good doing it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and you got to try and catch yourself. Those 2-10 seeds are a pair of dogs. Are they going to pull off two straight dog wins? That's not easy, right? Two straight road wins, that's not easy. Like, I would be, and of course the odds are, I don't see a double dog tomorrow, and I wouldn't be stunned, Donnie, if tomorrow we go, you know what's not fun? 7-10. Like, Miami just absolutely dominating the Chicago Bulls. It wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow's a favorites day, would it, for you?
No, because the tide has to turn, and that's what you play for, right? Theoretically, the better teams are at home. And again, we're not talking about, hey, they got to cover 16.5 points. Like, okay, they win by double digits, but don't cover. It's a really good chance where you win the game. You're going to win it by 5 or more. Sooner than later, it pays off. But I just love sometimes some of those momentum come in because the momentum is with the road teams. Why? They already went on the road and won. Like, they're feeling good. The teams that are home now, you lost. That's why you're home now playing another game.
So I've made the point that in prior, the winner of the 9-10 game has advanced to the postseason 3 out of 4 times. But that was always the 9 seed. We've never seen a 10 seed have to play. We're obviously getting 2 tomorrow. And just Miami specifically would become the first team to lose 2 straight home games. That's really hard for me, Don, and for that Miami team that I know I've personally talked about as a danger group that'll make you earn it in a 7-game playoff series. Them losing 2 home games, both as 5 or better favorite, I can't get there. I can't get there with Miami putting up that kind of performance. Let's not forget, that Chicago team was down 19 at one point to the Toronto Raptors. Now, I know that's not JP's pick, even though he said he likes double dogs. Just to Miami, if they don't handle their business against Chicago, that would be very surprising and it really bring up a lot of question marks around that roster then, which probably already exist.
Yeah, no, it certainly will. But yeah, like I like the way they're playing. I like the moxie of the Chicago Bulls last night. Sometimes you really like the fact that they didn't have a cruise control win. Like, hey, we went wire to wire there, and you know, so away we go.
Yeah.
Like, we had to fight to come back. So when you're in that adversity down in Miami, which you will have, and guys, we were down before. We already came back and won. Let's do this. By the way, you know, flip it over to the opposite side. Let's see if he get beat tomorrow night. There's got to be massive changes on that roster, no?
Yeah, the question is, what changes can you make, right? That was Miami was, to me, the only team that seemed like they tried with Durant, they just couldn't get a deal done. Where, I know maybe they were holding back out of bio, but that might have been a scenario where it's like, Durant doesn't want to be here if we don't have Bam, Brooklyn. Like, we're offering you every pick under the sun. Do you like Tyler Hero? Where I think they at least tried the Miami Heat. I think Miami, Miami's a Kyrie contender. If you get desperate, Jimmy and Kyrie have a very legitimate relationship that's well known. It's my understanding. Could that be burned? You never know, I guess. But the understanding is those two have a legitimate relationship there. That's the kind of player that you could see people going, okay, you know what? If Kyrie's going to get it right, it's going to be in Miami, right? Wouldn't you think that would be, would that be the reaction for you? Kyrie lands in Miami, and you go, you know what? If it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen in South Beach with that Heat organization.
Yeah, because it's a great landing spot anyway. Like, you know, you go there, your taxes are less. You have the beautiful weather all year round, not just in, like, the spring or the summer. It is a fit. And you've also heard, you know, no shortage over the past year and a half, a landing spot for Kyrie would be where? With the Miami Heat. So it does make a lot of sense if that's one of the spots there that they will have. But we'll wait and certainly see what happens. By the way, yesterday, did you catch this? I think this came out right when we were on yesterday, or I was on yesterday doing Moneyline. Kyle Kuzma getting very upset with Spencer Dinwiddie and basically ended it with go Sixers at this point. But I love Twitter beefs, man. Twitter beefs make me laugh, especially when it comes from a hot level and not just like one shot, like tweet, 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 tweet. And everybody's like, oh, this is real juicy at this point. Always good to see. Hour number two is underway. We'll be right back on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here on a Thursday afternoon. Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Phone lines open, 844-843-6879. The Moose, he's loose. It's a Thursday. He's ready to go. Talk to me, Moose. What do you got?
DRS, how you doing, buddy?
Hello.
Doing
Hello.
Good. Hopefully, K-Dub, but hopefully you're doing good. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. I got a little food. I got a little four pack of hockey for you tonight.
Oh yeah,
really?
Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, right? And New Jersey. So Colorado and they're battling Dallas for that top spot. You got the Colorado altitude. It's a back to back for Dallas, but they're at home. Edmonton. Goals for 320 playing San Jose, who's given up 313 goals. Edmonton's still battling for their spot. And, of course, New Jersey. And DRS, guess what I got my hands on?
Oh, what do you got?
A wild guess what I just got. I got some surveillance footage over the last 2 days
in
the Bronx.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, the
pictures,
Bronx.
Pictures, specifically at 2375 East Tremont Ooh. Avenue.
Whoa.
Yep, there was a certain talk show host, the star, that the man himself was located twice in the afternoon. Oof. And you know what that, Miss How's there?
Huh.
Take a wild
what do you
guess.
Got?
You know what that is?
A buffet.
The Golden Corral buffet.
There it is. There it is.
That is the egg for the Golden Corral buffet.
Yeah.
I'm not giving out no names, but he was sitting. you know what? He was seen going twice up for ribs.
Hold on a minute.
Enjoy talking to you guys. You guys are great.
Man, that's good.
You guys are great. So
there you go, Moose.
Let's enjoy some hockey.
All right.
So look, Moose is all of hockey. He's following good old K-Dub. Yeah. Now, where did you want to go with that?
Well, I just was. I mean, he started ripping a shoot address there. Now, I'm like, well, that was good. But I didn't know what was going on, but it turns out that's an address of a Golden Corral. That's pretty good, man. I was really hoping
he ripped your address off on live air, so I was actually going to try to do some research on that.
You know what's funny about something like that?
Yeah.
Is if that ever happened, right? I think most people in your position would be like, oh, man, I didn't think that would ever happen. You would go, man, how good is that? Like, no sympathy, no, like, oh, I didn't think that would happen.
Like, good job, pat on the back. Like, that's really good work. And then you would go, JP, can you get rid of that? And he'd be like, get rid of what? So, and then we get, you know, have a good feeling on that, off of that at this point here.
Hey, can I take something in quick?
Yeah, sorry.
Rory McIlroy fined $3 million.
Whoa, where's
from the RBCT Heritage, second, quote, designated event he skipped this year.
Now, why though? What is that fine?
Exactly. Now, I don't. I want to try and find some more information. But are you telling me that Mr. PGA is skipping PGA events?
Like,
what's going on here?
Now, is this going to get him so upset, Kevin, that he's forced to go to the LIV Golf Tour now and respect his decision?
So it says his PIP bonus money after he skipped his second designated event. Does he have some, what's the deal?
Yeah, the PGA has, like, over the past couple years, I can't explain it correctly, which I'm probably not going to, but there's, like, added bonuses for appearances at tournaments and how you play and how you move the needle on social media and all that good stuff. I wonder if it's a part of that where that's part of your tie-in, but I've never heard of, like Tiger Woods is like, hey, I'm sponsored by AT&T. I'm not going to play in the AT&T this weekend. You know what they say? Oh, man, take your time, brother. See you next year. Awesome. Send out a few tweets for us at AT&T. It's all good. No big deal. We're not going to get upset by this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the way you figure that you would feel at that point. That's pretty crazy. $3 million.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It says kind of he didn't. He's already missed the designated event. Everybody's allowed to miss one. But the fact that he's missing a second. Now, look, I don't want to take too much of a shot here at Rory. Like, he missed the cut at the Masters last week. Obviously, that's kind of been the real, you know, bane of his. With the double play! Oh, he got safe at first base, attaboy. I don't know, like, Don, because you never know in this day and age, like, is it where he just kind of needs to step back from golf for a bounce here? But the idea that he's missed multiple, designated, is it PGA events? Like, who's exactly taking this money away from him? It's the PGA, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's. Do you have to commit to play certain weeks? And you can't, because we see guys pull out all the time here. It says unspecified why he's doing it, which again would lead you to believe that it's not an injury at this point. But we got to get to the bottom of that, because it doesn't.
Yeah.
Something is missing, because it's not like, hey, you know what? Sorry you did that. We're going to dock you some points and $50,000. $3 million for a golfer? That's a lot of money here. Let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Jordan, he's calling in from Phoenix on a Thursday. Talk to us on Moneyline here. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? A couple plays.
What's up?
Let's go. Baltimore. And the over to combine them together for plus +150. So let's hope.
Yes.
I took the Red Sox on the money line and today too.
Ooh.
So let's hope that goes. And then K Dub, I asked Donnie yesterday his final prediction. Mm-hmm. What's your take? Who do you think is going to make it, K Dub?
For the NBA.
Yes.
Allow me to tease BATR, my friend. We'll do the full thing there. I'll tell you this. It feels very likely that I have the Boston Celtics involved at the minimum in the NBA Finals. West, we're still figuring a lot of things out, maybe.
All right. Well, I just just wanted to give a call in. Like I always say, best show on Sports Grid. Let's cash these winners today, guys. And then I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll be in, tuned in through the weekend, K-Dub. Y'all have a good one. DRS, have a good one.
There you go. Look at that. By the way, how come the weekend isn't like Kevin and the coach? Like, can't we just spice that up a little bit for you?
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Beautiful. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a basketball show. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would get over well.
I might just start calling it that.
Yes.
And I'll send you a video of me doing
royalties. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey. JY would love that. Kevin and the coach here Saturday getting after it.
How come you didn't go on like a 100 tweet storm about the fact that Sunoco ended up like getting involved with Sunoco?
Yeah, because you know why? You know why I didn't do that? Because I don't getting a hold of Sunoco. It wasn't like I saw him coming from like months and months and months and years away. So I don't want to be. Granted, I'd like to be that guy, but I can't. I don't know if I was like I made this up and said, like, "Yeah, brother, we've been calling him that for like 2 years now." Do you know what I mean? But well, it never crossed my timeline one time until we started talking in the tournament. I'm like Sunoco, man, he's got it. Like that is a game. Like I'm surprised that and. Doesn't he have a Sunoco gas station jersey on, which is such a home run, but I can't feel like I want to take credit for it, but I don't want to be like, dude, where you been? Like, we've been saying this for a long time.
I think the part that you deserve credit for, because to Sunoco is like the most difficult thing to put together. But to take that and
tremendous.
Say the big gas station.
That is a great name, by the way.
I'm just putting you like this, okay? If somebody would relay to him the nickname the Big Gas Station, he's an NBA talent.
Yes.
That is what that nickname does. You go to the NBA with that kind of a nickname there. That's an all-time nickname, the Big Gas Station.
Exactly.
Someone's got to transfer that to him immediately.
Yes. Like it can't be like Shaq who would watch our show and be like, you know, I'm just going to run with this on TNT and take credit for it. Like, I need credit for that. It's one of the, it could be the best. This guy, if he's like a 15-year pro going by, like, you know, Mark Jackson, like, the Big Gas Station, hand down, man down. Like, that's me. You better cut me in on that here. I'm going to make a phone call up here, get a royalty for that. We'll see what happens. Hour number two rolling along. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep grinding. Away we go. Keeping you updated on baseball. Baltimore 7, Oakland 4. I got three props with the Orioles. One has cashed in. Also, coming up in the next inning, Rutschman gets to the plate, which if you guys watch the early line, which you all should be doing, I do have a same-game parlay in that with two legs down. Rutschman ready to go, and he got robbed already so far, which we should have that in the door, but we don't. We'll have a couple more at-bats. Hopefully he gets that in the bottom of the fourth inning. In the Red Sox, 2-1 here over the Rays. Very good pitching performance so far from Kluber. By the way, it's beautiful here, Kevin, on the East Coast. Wife of the kid. Down the shore today in the afternoon. How about that? Kids are off, drive down. Said it's a madhouse down there, like middle of April. People flooding the boardwalk.
Wait, so they went and they left you behind? Is that the story?
Oh, everybody leaves me behind. Now, granted, like you people know about my home life a lot of times. Let me put this on the other leg. Like, when I have the afternoons off during Super Bowl week. If I would have said to my wife, and let's just say it was, I don't know, Christmas week, which it wasn't, but I had a couple days off and she didn't, and I pulled one of those, I'm taking my kid to this amusement park, I would get, well, I wanted to go. Why would you do that without me? So, today, it's beautiful. I love going down to the shore, walking on the boardwalk. I'm like, yeah, we're going down. I said, hey, put that shoe on the other foot. It'd be a problem. Not so what, we're going anyway. And away they went. Nobody cares about DRS here.
No,
I said, I got to work. I got to pay the bills.
Is it because, like, they secretly know that you don't care and don't want to go?
No, I would go. We go all the time on the weekends.
Oh, yeah,
we drive down there just to get pizza, like a 40-minute drive, eat pizza, and come home.
I mean,
like, yeah, we like stuff like that.
I mean,
would they have known? Would they have known? Would I need a text? What's the protocol here for actually dipping out on an hour of the show? Do you know?
I mean, you just gotta make it happen, man. You just gotta make it happen. That's what I hear, man. Thursdays is free. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Freestyle Thursdays. But anyway, back to some good stuff as we watch. Arroyo is at the plate here, about top of the fifth inning, excuse me. One out, 2-1. Maybe a lower scoring game. And also, the bigger news, though, Tampa's losing for a couple innings in a row here. Yeah. They haven't lost a game yet and are barely behind anywhere. Now, granted, it is only one run, and there is a long way to go, but interesting nonetheless. Now, here's a question that we know there's going to be a lot of changes in Major League Baseball, which include from the ballparks themselves. And here's what we're worried about. I'm not worried about it, but ballparks are. Beer sales, Kevin, usually end around the seventh inning. Now going into the eighth inning was how quickly the game is. What's your thoughts on that, though?
I don't have any problem with it. I feel like the idea, and I'm not positive, is the idea that the beer sales end because they don't want people to basically be drinking all the way until they leave the game. Well, that is one of those things to me where ending it in the seventh inning isn't going to fix anything. To be honest with you, I don't know if this sounds a little harsh, but if someone's going to get banged up, they're going to get banged up. And if somebody is running to – here's the thing, okay? If you really wanted to do that, then don't send the guy around in the seventh inning telling him it's last call. Like, let people
last
go out
last call. Let me get six.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, everybody do two, right?
I need one for the eighth and nine. Yeah, eighth and ninth inning. Give me two.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where, in some way, I went to the wrestling show last Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the TV episode ends at 10 o'clock, but they tape other stuff after. And the concessions were open for a whole other hour after, which I was pretty surprised by. But I was like, but that's also exactly what you should do. Like, we're all going to be here for a while. There's no reason to start butting this up and costing yourselves all in all, right? Like, why knock the concessions down? I don't mind it. I don't know. Are people playing like gotcha? Like, we told you the pitch clock wasn't good because now the concessions have to be open?
Well, here's my favorite part about it, too, because it's such unviled nonsense the way it plays out. Like, think of what Major League Baseball, it's not Major League Baseball, it's the ballparks. Like, okay, we might be losing a little bit more beer sales. Let's extend it another 20 minutes to make up for the beer sales. But do you see, like, what they're actually telling you is like, well, you know, we end it in the seventh inning because if you get real banged up and knock down eight of them, at least you have like 30 minutes where you can recover and drive home. Like, if you're going to a ball game and knocking down multiple beers, what are you driving for anyway? So the fact that it ends in the ninth inning, seventh inning, fourth inning, or first inning is irrelevant. But the way this is playing out, like, Matt Stromnick brings up a good point saying, like, hey, it is about safety why you end it. But then when you go, well, hold on here. So you're basically saying, hey, slam six down and get a quick half hour to sober up, drink a bottle of water, and good luck getting home. Sounds terrible.
Yeah, like people shouldn't be doing that anyway. You know what I mean? Like that's this ending it in the seventh isn't a real fix.
Yeah.
I think is kind of the point that we are making. Yeah. I think overall it would be like, they probably should end it in the sixth then, if that's what they're honestly worried about, right? But they're, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what it's going to be, I guess. You know,
you're right. It doesn't even make sense that it ends anyway at any time. It should end when, like, the game is over. It's like going to a bar. And, like, I know a bar closes, let's just say, 2 o'clock. But if you're going at 7 o'clock, who's stopping you from drinking at 10 o'clock? Let me just finish this beer and go home. Like, why is the ballpark trying to act like, oh, we're doing you a favor here. You have a half hour to sober up, which would mean nothing if you've got four or five beers in you anyway.
No, I think the thing is, look, they are making such outrageous profits. Are they not on this stuff anyway?
Yes. Like, I outrageous.
I would have no problem, though, if Major League Baseball, did baseball make the rule, or did the stadiums make the rule? Like, who made the rule change?
The stadiums, I guess. I think it's just the stadiums themselves, because not every team is actually doing this. Otherwise, it would be a blanket, like, we all go into the eighth inning. Now, granted, when somebody goes, okay, I'm making an extra $100,000 a week if we just keep it open an extra half inning. Well, sure. I mean, that's you're probably going to look at that, right? But that's not what's happening. And Rick Hara was on with us this morning, and he basically said the trade-off is, you're going to lose some sales, but if more people are really enjoying this and coming out to the ballpark, that's a great trade-off. And he's right. Yeah.
No,
hey, Kevin, we're going to stop the pitch clock because, like, beer is just out of whack on sales. Imagine that coming down the path.
Yeah, I mean, there's a trade-off in everything. Is there going to be more people at the game than you win, right?
Yes.
And that's
more people watching on TV. You win.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, TV rights deals are such a big thing. It'll be interesting to see, and I'm sure at some point there's going to be a big report on it of,
are ticket sales up year over year at these ballparks? And we'll find out. Like, do you consider yourself more, less, or the same likely to go to a game now with all the rule changes and what have you?
I'm not more inclined to go to a game. But having said that, once I go to the game, I like the fact that if I'm bringing my daughter or my wife, or I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, I appreciate that it's going to end 25 minutes early so I can get home 25 minutes earlier, which would mean a massive difference. But no, I wouldn't say to myself, hey, you know what? Now on a Wednesday night, I would never go to the game. Now I'm going to go to the game because it's a little bit faster. I would never. No, it has no impact on me.
Yeah,
that way.
I think the one thing, though, that you and I, last year, the Phillies specifically, we were like, man, it's actually kind of cool that they start all their games at 6:35.
Yes.
Right? Just giving people an extra half hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like it makes the difference in people's lives. Like the person at home, maybe not, but the ability to like stay up and finish a game is very real. Or the ability to now go to a 7 o'clock game and get home before 10 o'clock is nice. People like that. People are more, I would think people are a little more inclined to go if they kind of realize there. So I think you might see people more likely to go. And I would have to imagine that that's part of the reason that they wanted to do this. Right? Because, you know, Donnie, like the thing, people were leaving 7th inning a game, 6th inning a game anyway. Because they're like, yeah, it's time to go. If you get people in the stadium now to 8, they might as well stay to 9.
Yeah. 3 runs now on the board here for the Boston Red Sox on a beautiful pop fly to center field that nobody wanted to catch, which ended up turning into a run. That's the way you do it. Let's get to the phone lines here. Gary in Texas calling in on a Thursday afternoon on Moneyline on the Grid. What's up, Gary?
Oh, nothing much. First, let me preface this, but I am not a Tampa Bay Rays fan. But maybe by me mentioning this, and you know, maybe they'll hear me and they'll think about it. I want to mention a little bit. I hadn't heard people mention exactly how bad they're beating teams. But first of all, they have the easiest schedule in history for the first 12 games, but we'll forget about that. But can you tell me, I'm going to ask Kevin this, because I know he's not, you know, baseball isn't his first thing. Kevin, can you tell me, who is the person who gets saves for Tampa Bay, and how many saves does he have?
Probably.
I know you can't tell me who it is.
One save would be the max because they've only had one game or two games in striking distance, right?
Yeah. So you're not exactly correct, but you're on the right trail. It's Pete Fairbanks. I actually have him in my fantasy league. He has two saves. But in their 12 games, they've won 4-0, 12-2, 5-1, 6-2, 10-6, 7-2, 9-5, 11-0, 11-0, 1-0, 1-0, 7-2, and 9-7. And keep in mind that all 12 of those games, 9 of them were at home, so they don't even bat the bottom of the ninth. So they're winning by 6, 7, or 11 runs when they don't even play 9 innings. So I think it's somewhat historic to be winning by this many. And sure, they're going to lose today. But I might jump on them tomorrow on the run line and keep running line on them until they start losing some, because tomorrow they're on the road. So the run line, if you can get an alternate run line, I think they're not going to be favored tomorrow, but because they don't have the best pitcher. But get an alternate run line and maybe plus 180 or something, minus 1.5. I think that might be a good way to do it throughout the weekend when they're on the road.
Not bad. Not a bad look here. And, yeah, it looks like they are on the ropes right now as they head to the middle of the fifth inning, which, again, bottom of the fifth inning, down 3-1. They need to make a comeback. They're plus 150 right now on the money line. Interesting stuff. Total listed at 8.5. Come on, Rays. I need some RBIs. Let's go. Cash it in. We'll be right back here on Moneyline. If you want to get your phone calls in, just like Gary in Texas, 844-843-6879. We'll keep rolling along. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go. Having some fun here. It's time to rip something, K-Dub, which I always love to do. And I don't know if you're going to partake in this, but I think you might have to. I think you should. I saw a tweet come out earlier this morning, and I was looking at it going, this is stupid. Now, just let it go. And a couple hours go by. So I'm just watching a little baseball here. We're having some fun, as we usually do in the afternoon. You ready for this one?
Uh-oh. All right.
Yeah. Hear me out on this. Breaking. Excited to announce the 2023 Senior Bowl Hall of Fame induction class. Mm. How's that hit you first?
Yeah, I mean, right away, what are you talking about?
All right.
For me, right away, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the Senior Bowl, which is down in Mobile, right?
Sure.
Okay. The class is the Eagles running back Brian Westbrook, Packers outside linebacker Clay Matthews, Titans running back Chris Johnson, Eagles offensive lineman Lane Johnson, and Ravens offensive lineman Marshall Yanda. Hashtag the draft starts in Mobile. Now, I look at this right away, Kevin, and I say to myself, I don't even know what the criteria actually is for that. Does this mean, like, man, they showed up in those two practice days, best we've ever seen? Or is it these guys played in the Senior Bowl and went on to be very good NFL players, so we'll put them in our Hall of Fame? What is even the criteria here?
I don't get this at all. How many guys are making this? All of them? Everyone? What is this?
Five. Those five are in the Hall of Fame class this year. I don't know if it just started this year. I don't know who's in it before or this is a new thing. But that's what it says.
Okay, but... And it's Chris Johnson, Lane Johnson, Marshall... Who is it again? Give me a name.
Yanda, Marshall Yanda, Lane Johnson, Chris Johnson, Clay Matthews, and Brian Westbrook. All really good NFL players.
Okay, so... And the idea has to be that they played in the Senior Bowl and then went
on to have
very, very good careers.
But is the criteria that, or is the criteria these guys were really good at the Senior Bowl? You see what I mean?
No, it can't be. It has to be that these guys were
terrible,
good in the NFL and played in the Senior Bowl. But here's the question then, right? Here's the question then. What's the deal with, like, the graphic that has Christian Watson on it?
It says Rookies of the Year, Woolen, Pierce, and Watson. I guess they went to the Senior Bowl?
I mean, I'm being honored as the 2022 Co-Offensive Senior Bowl Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
I mean, sorry, not a thing. You can't do that. You can't just give out Rookie of the Year for guys that were in the scene. That's not a thing.
Oh, my goodness.
But also, okay, so you know what's funny? Stuff like this does confuse me a bit, okay?
Man! I had plus 250 on low. Gets up with a runner on third and one out, and he drew a walk. You see what I mean? Pop out. Drew a walk there because Kluber, who's been dominating all afternoon, decides that he's going to work a 3-0 count on this guy. Threw a strike and then threw another bad pitch. And now Mejia's up 9. And like, I still have other guys in the lineup, but that's a ground ball 3-2 game. And not minus 110 cashed. Plus 250 cashes on that. Oh, that's a bad one.
And let me just say this to the audience. During the show, we've unfortunately... seen things not go Donnie's way as much as they should, despite many of opportunity. Notice that Donnie got significantly angrier at the guy walking than when Adley Rushman got web-gemmed out of a winning ticket. Because there is nothing more frustrating, is what I've learned, than when your guy walks and you have a prop on him. Because it does absolutely nothing. Nothing more frustrating there. Swing the bat, man!
Yeah, exactly. 3-1 count, swing it. Now, looks like he just got hit. Oh, were they going to keep him at the plate? No. They're saying he didn't get out of the way or it was a foul ball. Almost the base is loaded here. But Mejia's up in that 9th spot, but that should be an easy one. Fly ball, ground ball, anywhere. That is a run at a plus 250. So I got robbed on a plus, 145, and I got a walk on a plus 250. So we could already be, in the business. Now, granted, still a long way to go, but you like to cash those in. Now back to ripping the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame class, which where are we going to see this, too, by the way? Is it going to bust? Just as big?
Look, if they dedicate a portion of the NFL Hall of Fame in, Canton to this, I actually will no longer get upset because at least it exists. The idea that there are Hall of Fames that don't really exist are difficult, right?
But there are at least ways you can honor it. WWE has a Hall of Fame. There's no physical Hall of Fame, but they have a Hall of Fame night. There are speeches, there's ceremonies. Mm-hmm. It matters to those wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
UFC has a Hall of Fame. They do big video package. They do these things. It matters to those guys. Senior Bowl Hall of Fame, I'm sorry. Did you think that matters to Lane Johnson? And he'll say all the right things. He'll say all the right things. How you turn me into a curmudgeon like this, I don't know, but I agree.
Yeah.
Like, Lane Johnson is going to the real Hall of Fame when his career is over.
Yes.
Okay? Like, what are we doing?
Is that going to be on, like, his bio somewhere? Like, does that even make it into his bio? Like, hey,
no.
By the way, Lane Johnson's a Hall of Famer from the Senior Bowl.
Like, did Jim Nagy just do, like, here's, I guess, my big question, okay? What is the process to create your own Hall of Fame? Like, I don't understand. Can you just say Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Like, do they have to reach out to Lane Johnson and see if he would accept?
No. Like, I'm pretty sure they get the tweet like, hey, they added Lane Johnson. Oh, I just made the Hall of Fame in the Reese's Pieces Bowl. Thanks.
Don't do that. That's not.
Yep.
I'll jump right
put that right in there.
Put that right in there, man. Don't say that. Reese's Pieces Bowl. Lane Johnson calls up, says, get me out of here. I'm not in this.
The Reese's Bowl, man. Give me that Reese's Pieces Bowl. Now I'm in on it there.
Not to open this whole can of worms again. But the craziest thing about you Reese's Pieces defenders is none of you say Reese's when you don't when it's just talking about the candy. You say Reese's. But for some reason, when the word pieces is added in the back end, you turn it into 3-year-olds. It's embarrassing. No. It's embarrassing.
No, everybody calls it that. It's just the people that don't. There's something wrong with it. So it is whatever it is. But yeah, now I like ending like it. The show's got a little bit more to go, but like on an angry note where, no, I'm mad that I didn't get a plus 250, but I think I'm even worse angry that I now see a Hall of Fame from Reese's out here in the street. My goodness.
How much more time do I have left here? I mean, I'm gassed out now. You're wearing me out here.
The Reese's.
Thank you.
How about this?
Hey, by the way. I know that the Rays game is driving you insane.
It is driving me
insane. But the fact that the Baltimore game has 7 runs and you only have one winning wager is actually like 10 times crazier.
It is crazy. Like, I have one RBI, and it feels like 7 different guys have gotten RBIs, and, like, I'm just waiting on my final 2 guys. Now, again, there is some time left to go. There will be more runs being scored. But having said that, like, I need a Rutschman single, which would hit my same game parlay, which I have, which is plus 150. And then I have a couple guys still left on the RBI. I should have had just about every, like, I should put it this way, Kevin. The winning day should already be in hand, and I should be just like, hey, everything else is just cream from here on out. But I'm not right now. Like, I'm still hanging on. Like, come on, guys. Help me out here. And there's been many chances. Because sometimes you just look and go, well, I really didn't have a chance. Like, either I was going to hit a solo home run or I needed a double to drive in the guy from first. There's been a lot of easy layup opportunities, which it looks like, as long as we don't get a double play, and it's a 3-1 count, who, by the way, Kluber really starting to struggle right now. I might have a bases loaded now with Lau up at the plate to see what he can do. Now, if I'm saying here, Diaz, don't swing away. Get hit with a pitch. Do something, right? You know what I mean?
Now, I don't mean to rain on your parade, but doesn't it feel like if he loses
Diaz, hit a home run?
He's getting pulled?
Yeah. Right.
No, he didn't. Did he?
No, he didn't, because I thought you might have been ahead of me at that point, but he just flew out.
No, he flew
out to the corner.
You're ahead of me in that game, so you can... I know you get real worried, the idea that I'm ever ahead of you. You're ahead of me in both games. Don't worry, okay?
Yeah.
You're fine.
So I'm looking, but there now it's 2 out. So again, it's not advantageous where if you would have got the guy to third with 1 out and you need another ground ball, but now I just need a base knock at this point.
Can I tell you what's incredible about these wagers? So how many guys do you have in action right now? What is it? Is it
3-3? 6. I got 6. Yeah.
How many of them have come up to the plate with runners in scoring position?
A couple of them.
Is the answer all of them, Donnie?
Not, by the way, Kluber did get pulled, which, again, I'm not that upset with because you're not bringing your closer here in the bottom of the 5th inning, so things should still work out and you have some swings at this. But, yeah, it feels like a lot of my guys have come up with legitimate chances where, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, every guy's coming up, nobody is on base.
Like, there is a part of that that is just so out of your control.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you, like, the opportunity, you have the 8-hitter. Who's only come up with guys in scoring position.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's doing nothing. Nothing. It's just it's pretty good.
You know, it's funny good. Because you look at the numbers that make sense. And again, I'm up money here doing this RBI thing. Why? Because you don't you go 50-50, you make really good money because most guys are close to 2-1. But I gotta say, there is something that I'm watching in the past couple of days. It's almost like don't take the really good hitters, not because they're not going to drive in runs, but the really good hitters are always on base. And like that 8-hole hitter who's a bum, just like flicks one out the left field and gets 2 RBI. Like, man, that guy was plus 275, even though he's terrible. But the other guys are still going to be on base. That's why sometimes I take the advantage and say, let me just stack the best batters. I don't care. I'll take 4 guys, 2, yeah. 3, 4, and 5 in the lineup. If they have 4 or 5 runs, those guys are going to be a part of it. But I also try to say, hey, you know what? Let me get the 2nd hole. Let me get the 5th guy. Let me get the 7th guy because chances are, it's not like, man, every time they come around, nobody's up. They're going to have chances to do it. They're doing it today, but I'm just not cashing at an easy clip, which again, I still should be plus money already, and I'm not, which is driving me a little crazy.
Yeah. Rushman got web jammed, and it really paled in comparison to this
yes.
guy walking, which is just—it's just pretty fun.
And I saw it coming too. I'm like, you know, because it's the opposite. Like, it's almost like, man, I'd rather that guy be in a 1-2 count, which is really hard to get a base hit. But I know he's not walking. Yeah. Like, you get the 2-1 count, like, ooh, this is good. It goes to 3-1, you're like, hey, get this game off.
You know how? Like, you know how? Like when you lose a bet, you almost like start then going on like tangents on Twitter. So not you personally, I mean like general you. I had Mookie Betts the other day, 2+ bags. He walked 3 out of his 5 at bats, and I almost went on a tweet thread.
There you go, Lau. See that?
That's how you know something.
Oh, it's good.
Through. Oh, my God.
And you know what the best part about that is, Kevin? He struck out twice already against Kluber. They pull Kluber, bring in the bring in the bullpen. But this was a perfect, how can I put it, non-shift base hit. Where the guy was standing like around second base, but the second baseman had to cover his whole side. That is an automatic out if that was a normal, like, we're going to play a left-handed batter to pull it. They would just pick that up, flip it over to first base. Now it sneaks in the center field, and we cash that ticket. Fantastic.
And the thing is, like, they're still kind of cheating. Like, the other day, I had the door pounded out.
It looks like
and
it,
And I tweeted it. Someone, we had the same bet, and I tweeted, like, that was a shift. Like, you're like that's, like, you can play it. That was a foul. Like, I started, I'm starting to, like, read, like, that's a shift complaint. Which, by the way, I mean, like, they need to tighten up the shift parameters here. Like, you know what I don't like, Donnie? I actually really hate the 5th outfielder coming in, or the 5th infielder and there's only 2 outfielders.
Yeah,
that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, like, you should, like in the NBA, you have the lane, right? There should be a lane for every single player where they can't go in and out of. That would be tremendous stuff. But now look at this. The Rays tied 3-3. They ain't losing. They're never losing, people. You know that. We'll be right back to close it down here on a Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back out of here. Final segment of the day here for Thursday afternoon on Moneyline. Exciting times here watching the Rays. I had another runner in scoring position with 2 outs. My guy comes up, Wander Franco, and promptly gets hit with a pitch in the elbow. Stays in the game because that would have been double shot. If he gets hit, then goes to first base, like, let me just pull the guy out at this point, right? That would be ridiculous. As look at this. Does this work? Wow. Kevin, base is loaded. 2 outs. They just dropped a bunt down and had an RBI, and they score 5-3 Tampa Bay now. We were 3-1 and talking to what, Gary in Texas, like, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a loss. They're winning now by multiple runs before we even got out of the 5th inning.
Like, just covering the run line.
Yes.
Now, here's I always say this, okay? Evaluating someone's decision in terms of pitching changes is very easy to do after results.
Yeah.
But when a guy comes in and gives up, you know, 3 straight hits, Donnie, and all of a sudden you lose the lead, you clearly went to the wrong guy. I think we can all agree here. That's pretty tough for Cora and the Red Sox, man. They can't win in this. They cannot win in this building, Donnie.
And it's not even like the inning is even over. Like Ramirez is the middle of that lineup, is now coming up to the plate, and he doubles down the line. That might score everybody here. Let's see where this ball ends up. That's one run. That's two. That's three. So a double. They now are up 8-3.
Stop.
Routing them. Another run line easy winner, it looks like, for the Tampa Bay Rays. Man, that's impressive. Yeah.
I got to tell you, that's about as bad of a relief outing as you'll ever see.
Yes.
That is about as bad of a relief outing as you will ever see. I imagine he gets pulled. I mean, at this point, they might not let him just go out there and keep...
No, let's just go. Yeah, now we're just not going to root. Because I saw they sent Cutter Crawford out to the bullpen, it looked like, to start getting warmed up. Probably thinking they could probably use him in the next inning. You're just going to let this guy play it out. Like, you're getting hammered by five runs. Good luck with that. Look at that. We didn't even get a chance to go over any plays or JP. Well, technically, we didn't have anything anyway. At Right Side VP, I'll be handing stuff out. JP, hurry up. Where are you going tomorrow, JP?
Thunder.
Thunder! There you go. That'll do it for a Thursday show. Fantastic stuff. DRS, KW, Behind the Wheels of Steel. JP, we'll be back tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.